This is Neon Coltrane with Elise Osborne.
Welcome to another episode of Neon Cauldron. And today I am going to be talking to Michelle Bach, owner of Opium Den Vintage and Tarot Reader in San Francisco, California. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
So, I met you at the Painted Bird on Valencia Street in San Francisco years ago. And in talking to you, I discovered that palm reader. So I know that you don't do palm reading anymore, but I just love your readings and I think there's so much wisdom in it. And I would just want to know more about what got you into palmistry in the first place and why you decided to stop.
I was raised in a really religious Pentecostal home. That's a very, they're very much in tune with the spirit world, and they believe in faith healing and the laying on of hands. And I, when I was in that church, I did participate in that as a form of worship. And through that, I realized, at the time I had a different set of words for it. But now I realize that that was just, my empathy centers were very open. They've always been open. And, because of that, I'm able to, intuit. I'm energy sensitive and I feel it through the hands. And I noticed I started when I was really young, laying hands and praying for people. And I felt their energy through that. And I could also transmit energy through them. At the time I thought it was Jesus. Now I realize it's just energy.
That's really powerful. And I mean, I think it's probably a nightmare for most Pentecostal parents to think that their practices would lead you into witchcraft. But here you are.
They're very similar, surprisingly, you know.
Oh, totally. So when did you discover that you had this talent in palm reading?
Well, of course, that part happened in the 90s when I, obviously, by that time, I'd broken off and I kind of went on into a tailspin, religion-wise and spiritual-wise, and I was exploring a lot of different paths, and I just found a book about it one day, and I started reading about it because I noticed energy. I could feel energy in people's hands, and I was drawn to them, and like drawn to their hands, and I could also felt my own energy coming out of my hands too. And so I felt there was a link. And so I did a lot of studying on it. So I studied the traditional methods of palmistry. And then I kind of used those traditional methods and started practicing on my friends, practicing on everyone that had hands, basically all ages and sizes. And so many, I've read so many palms, and I learned so much too, and felt so much.
Learning by doing. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Oh yeah.
And I probably have I've read palms for strangers and different people, and you know, I think that before I started really looking at people's hands, I didn't really think that hands could vary too much, but they really do.
Yeah.
You know, once you start paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have a few questions. One is, I've heard different stories about people in their stance on in this particular line that's right under the edge of the smallest finger on the hand, the pinky, mm-hmm. as it's known on the streets. And then the heart line. So there, in between the heart line and the edge of the hand where the pinky is, there's like a little line, right?
Yeah.
And I've heard people say that that line means either how many children you have or how many soulmates or, you know, important romantic partners you have. What do you think of that?
Well, I tend to find it to be true. In a general sense, there are people that slip through the cracks. I mean, if I look at my own hands, there should be more than three people on my lateral line. But the three people on the lateral line represent people that, at different points in time, which can be, you can kind of date the lines in the space and where the states, where they begin and where they end, and how long the lines are. And that tells you how long the relationship is, when it is, when it came into your life, and the depth of the crease of the line indicates the significance of that, of that person, of their influence on you in your life. Now, all the lines are subject to change, but yeah, the lateral line, and then the lengthwise lines are the children lines. Now, that can indicate pregnancies. There's a small broken line that's usually, unfortunately, a death or a sickness. A child was very sick, or will be very sick in their beginning, or, you know, the beginning, like from, you know, the time that you have the child. Men and women can have the children lines too. And sometimes people who have kids, the kids don't show up on the line yet because maybe they haven't linked the soul bond with them tightly enough yet.
But they need to go on Maury.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. But there's been some interesting revelations over the years and you have to be really sensitive to how it would make you feel if you hear the news. I've definitely have read palms for people where I've seen that their kid is very, very sick, or dead or dying. And you don't want to be the person to bear the bad news. So you just say that your child is very in a sensitive place right now and needs your extra love and prayers and protection. So you phrase it in a way that speaks to them and that can be of use to them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you're also doing tarot, and I feel the same. Mm-hmm. As a reader, you know, sometimes things come up that are, you know, a lot of people also seek guidance when they're in what you're calling a fragile space. And that's always a hard thing to navigate, how to go forward with information in a healing way, but also it can be really exhausting trying not to freak someone out or if somebody's having an intense time. So also a couple more things about hands. So have you noticed, I've seen this in hands, that not everyone has fate lines.
Yep. That's, you know, I feel like that has to do with them still. That's kind of like in correlation to having the Fool card, their karma, their karmatic burden, if they have any to pay off, hasn't been reached yet. They haven't gotten to the point where they have to start paying things off, or they've already paid it off. That your fate and karma are extremely linked to each other, and whether or not you choose to believe in karma, you do have a path. And maybe sometimes people who don't have fate lines are carving their own path. They're freely creating their own scene in a way. And it doesn't mean that they don't have a fate. Everybody has some sort of destiny, but perhaps their path is to create the path. So they're not to be, those people are not to be taken lightly per se or dismissed. You should honor their sense of individuality and encourage them to do great things.
Of course. Yeah. And also, you know, an interesting thing that I think you taught me about hands is when you're seeing these deep cutting lines, it could mean, like, you know, to take care of your health, and that it can deteriorate over time. Mm-hmm. So that's also just checking the actual human body and seeing how your health is going to unfold.
Yeah.
And not necessarily dooming someone to have an unfortunate, you know, position in the future, but also it's like good to like see, you know, rocks on the shore if you're going towards something. So it does give you opportunities to sort of cheat unfortunate fate sometimes when you're doing readings.
So yeah, you can totally, you know, you can change the lines in your palm. I mean, if you're working to, you know, it's like a wash pot never boils. You just have to live your life.
So I think that in reading, I've noticed there's two topics that are the most intriguing that people mostly want to know about, mm-hmm. which is career/money, mm-hmm. which I would categorize in, like, you know, success, you know, yeah. and then romance, right?
Oh, yeah. It's usually... And,
mm-hmm. oh, go ahead.
they want to know pretty... I think romance almost pretty much takes the... takes the lead. And I do also notice that people who want their palms read are also very interested in fame in their
yes
the world.
And there are markers on the hands to indicate fame.
Mm-hmm. You have your mount of Apollo. If it's well developed, that means you're pretty much going to be more of the performer type. You have your
and the mount of Apollo would be the bump underneath the ring finger.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then also, I find sometimes in people I've also known get notoriety in whatever chosen field will have a star of Apollo.
Yeah.
Also, which is for listeners, the star of Apollo is on under the ring finger on the mound, and it's sort of like creasing that looks in the shape of a star.
Yeah. And those can also change too. I think that the stars mean you will get to that point, but it doesn't mean that it's going to, you know, that's subject to change once you get to that point. Because once you reach that stage in your life, it's up to you about whether you want to hold on to your creation or be a slave to it, or let it be part of, you know, the seed that you sow into the universe.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And also another, I guess, if people are looking for romance, I think there's a couple points, but mostly the Mount of Venus is one of the more important ones. And things that I want to talk about in Mount of Venus is swelling. when you have a really prominent like Mount of Venus. So that's the Mount of Venus is sort of the pad that your thumb stems out of, right?
It's a fun one because sometimes they almost seem engorged.
Yeah.
and you got to be gentle. You can't say, wow, you're horny. You got to be like, yeah. You have a great capacity for physical expression of love.
I mean, I tell people they're horny if I see that, but that's kind of the way I do things. But I do like that you have better bedside manner than I do. also one thing that I would love to know more on your thoughts of when you see that cross hatching on the Mound of Venus,
mm-hmm.
because that represents somebody who is kind of fucked up and not really ready to give as well as receive or be in a good place. They have like confusion, like a net over their Mound of Venus, and to me that's saying like red flag a little bit, whether or not the person is like a bad person is sort of, you know, a judgment value, but maybe not somebody to get involved with. But that's my opinion. What do you think of when you see that cross hatching on the Mound of Venus?
I see it as a very common thing that is part of the human condition. When it's on there, it happens when people have had to resist control.
Mm.
Someone trying to control them. Sometimes they're not able to express themselves freely in that field. And also Venus controls aesthetics, creative expression, your sense of beauty, your sense of enjoyment of the world. It's not just sex. Sex is a good part of it, and that's the physical expression of it. So I take into account that part, and I feel like a lot of people have been held back in that realm, and especially women. And I feel like everyone is worthy of love, and that love should meet them where they're at.
Damn, that's a really thoughtful conclusion on what I was trying to just be like a detective about, looking at people's hands and being like, I don't want to fuck with you. So, I mean, are there things on the hands? Like, let's say that one of our listeners is like, okay, I'm going to take notes. I'm going on a Tinder date mm-hmm. tomorrow with some rando.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I should sneak a peek on the hands. And I would think it had to do with the thumb, right?
Yes, you are right. I was just gonna say, yeah, you put the thumb on the head or the nail on the head. There are this some people like these type of people and other people don't, so you have to figure out what kind of thumb personality you're seeking. But the rundown is, if you want an intellectual artist type who doesn't do any manual or physical labor, you're going to find someone with conical long thumbs. They're going to be an intellectual to the extreme.
Yeah.
I always go for the guys who do the manual labor and the singular tasks. So I'm looking for a square thumb that's balanced, that's not too long. Now, if someone's got a short thumb, that means
the murderer's thumb.
That's the hammer thumb.
Okay.
Murderer's thumb. A very short thumb, I would just say there's not going to be much intellectual repartee. Murderer's thumb, they can be intellectuals too, because you can have these combinations because of the form. If you have a really ridged nail, that means, of course, they have some pretty serious health issues, usually heart conditions. So, you know, if you grow to care about them on your first Tinder date, maybe stay away from the red meat.
But if you're a gold digger, really pay attention to those ridges. Am I right?
Yes. You have a circular thing at the joint on the outside of the thumb that looks kind of like, you know, basically almost like a Gucci symbol or something. It's no mistake that the Gucci symbol looks kind of like that joint, because that is a sign of you have very good taste in the finer things of life, and you like picking things out and also making things. But I always like the crafter and builder and hard working type guys. But that's just me. There's a thumb for everyone, basically. If they're sucking their thumb, just turn away. But
if they're what?
They're sucking their thumbs, then just turn away.
You know? Yeah, unless you're really into adult babies and, you know, all that. But so you're talking about the shapes of the fingertips, mm-hmm. and you're saying, well, you mentioned conical and you mentioned square, and there's also round, and these do represent different sorts of temperaments.
Yeah.
So, like you're saying, the square is like flatter, more like a horizon, you know, down to earth, and the more pointed it gets, it's more up in the clouds or up in the head, right?
And for years that was traditionally only associated with women until they started to realize that men have those tips too. And you know what? My men friends with conical tips, they are fabulous, and some of them are great lovers for me. And you know, they do have more, it doesn't mean that they're effeminate per se, but they are drawn to things like astrology, spirituality. All four genders can have those kind of tips, and they tend to be very philosophical as well. So those are the conical tips, and you can have a combo too. You can have a combo on one hand of different tips. I've seen that, and that's really cool.
Totally. I've noticed that some of my fingers are more squared than some of the others. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I mostly have round tips. So that's what it sounds like, well-rounded, you know, somewhere in between like being very earthy and being more sensitive, you know. That's how I interpret it anyway. Mm-hmm. But
yes.
For example, my middle finger is fairly square. So what would that mean?
Ooh, I would have to say that has to do with your, for what your attention needs are. I always look at the middle finger for people's attention needs. If you say it's kind of square, then you need something, you need solid stability as a base, like a home base to like shoot off from.
Yeah, that's true.
And some people don't like that. Some people want to are constantly seeking, but you already have your center, so you want someone who's gonna, you want circumstances to meet you in the middle. It's like a sign of being extremely grounded, stubborn to a fault at worst, but that might have saved you from a few things. So yeah,
I love that. And also the fingertips and the way that I understand them, and maybe even you told me this years ago, but the fingertips represent spirit or emotion, you know, or more mm-hmm. the mental realms or the spirit emotional realm. And then the middle part is the mental.
Yep.
And then the bottom would be the physical.
That's right. And you get into your, even down to your wrist, you have your little luck, you know, your luck rings and all that, your bracelets.
Oh, tell me more about that.
The luck bracelets are they are lines that go to that are lateral lines that cross your vein. So, mm-hmm. And they start at the bottom of your palm, and usually I feel like luck is kind of you know, part of it has to be like participating in receiving the good luck from the universe. So I find the more people participate in that, the luckier they get. I didn't used to have any, now I have two. So there you go.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually have like quite a few bracelets.
Oh, get it, girl. Yeah. Those are good. That means you're participating in that. And you know, the more that you participate, the more that you're going to acquire.
Yeah, I'm so down with that. I love to participate in the dance of life. And speaking also on something you said earlier on the lines changing over time, my heart and headline used to kind of, I don't know, it looks like polar magnets. They would kind of come towards each other and be like, just kidding, psych, and then go, they would bend opposite from away from each other.
Mm.
And now in the last 2 years, I've noticed I'm sort of developing a simian line. And that kind of creeps me out. But there's a, but they're connected by a triangle link in the center. So the way that I understand a simian line is when your heart and your headline start to combine in a straight line across your hand. And that meaning your heart and your head are one, you know.
Mm.
I'm sure that there's some creepier, interesting facts about the simian line. What do you think of it?
I feel that where you're at, I'm guessing you're in your, you may have just turned 30, or you're in your Saturn return.
Oh, you flatter me.
Okay.
I'm a little bit older, but you're right. It started doing that around my Saturn
return.
Well,
that would make sense, okay? Because you're starting to, when there's a divide, when things are, when there's like, when there's more of a separation, those are the times when you had to fragment in your life in order to survive. So when you separate those things, you had to use your logic. And you weren't able to allow your heart to inform your logical choices. Now, there were other times when you felt you could catch a break and maybe get some escape. And that's when they would join. Now, awesome. They're becoming more enjoined as you're listening to your intuition, but also through your lived experience. That's the head part. And you honor your lived experience, and that becomes wisdom. And so that's when those are starting to join. That's how I've always felt, and that's what the triangle would be.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of the triangle, I, in one of my old dusty books, I saw that having a triangle kind of pointing away from the Mound of Luna, which is the other pad on your hand, opposite to the Mound of Venus, where your thumb is. So a triangle coming from there is also a sign of not only like clairvoyance or something like that, but choosing a life direction that has to do with the occult or you know, something like tarot. One thing I've noticed is when I look at other intuitive people's hands or people who are in occult-ish or witchy careers, they do have that triangle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I have one too. It looks like an ice cream cone without the ice cream. but not as crosshatched though. But yeah, there is a pattern to there. It denotes listening to your spirit guides and tapping into your unconscious and basically all levels of consciousness. You're aware of them. But I want to say though that everybody has this power. But it's just like anything else. You know, some people are good at running because they run every day. You know, we're doing this because we do this every day. And the more we do it, the more we do it, you know?
And, you know, some people are inclined to run every day. I am not, you know, even if I ran every day, I do not have the hips for running,
but
you know?
Got this.
I look like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. It's like playing hooky out in the second grade, you know, like running from bullies. Like, I am not a good runner. And I don't think I will be a good runner. But yeah, I can run.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel your metaphor, but I'm just expanding on it and thinking that like some people are called more and maybe have, you know, are a little bit more open to different kinds of channels. And, I recently for me now, it was a year ago, I read this little like toddler's hand, and she's a baby Scorpio, and she had that triangle in her palm, but she's like two. So I'm really I'm curious to watch her grow up and see what happens with that.
It could change. She could. There's so many things that happen, especially since Scorpios are cynical. They're the of the zodiac, so she may sublimate that into physical, which they often do. Scorpios are extremely physical. She could, there are a lot of them become dancers and chefs and athletes, and I think a lot of it has to do with they have that determination that turns away from the unseen and the illogical and the unseen. So who knows? She could embrace it, or she could sublimate it into something else that suits her higher purpose better. She could be called into it, but that may not even serve her better in the long run. You know what I mean? She may have to protect herself. Who knows what her life will be like?
I guess I'll watch it unfold. But also speaking of how the hands will tell, everyone wants to know about themselves and what they're going through and what they should do about it. And that's why it's so interesting for people to come have their palm read or have their tarot read. And one thing that I'm curious about is your thoughts on something like the girdle of Venus and how that really benefits somebody in knowing that they have that. And the girdle of Venus is a sort of loop that is in the mounds underneath the ring and middle finger, right?
Oh yeah, and that usually means, bluntly said, you're good in bed. And everybody wants to know if they are or not. If you don't have it, it doesn't mean you aren't. It just means that perhaps some of your spiritual, all the things that are amazing about you come out then. You're expressive in bed. There you can also look for loops within the girdle of Venus, which look kind of like fingerprints. Those are humor loops. And they hang out in the girdle of Venus. Because that means you've had enough lived experience where you can you're very humorous, you're very good with words, and that's one of your seduction points generally. That's why it hangs out there. It also denotes if it's completely broken up and crossed, with lots of islands and crosses and breaks in that girdle, that can denote sexual abuse, and that I will check in with the person and see how they're feeling and the way that I address them with that, because it's such a deeply painful and scarring thing, is I ask them, or tell them, I'm just like, some things have happened to you that have prevented you from fully expressing yourself in the now with your sex life, and there's some blockages. And the universe wants to say you can be healed.
Wow, that's so potent and really, you're so good at saying the right thing around something delicate from the palms.
Because you don't want to trigger people. And also with the energy field, when that comes up, there's usually a huge dent in the Mount of Venus, or it's I mean and also in the Mount of the Moon. Both of those, there can be dents and concave even. So you want to be really gentle with them. They usually have a cold. They can range from a cold to a pulling force, and they're in pain. And you just don't want to just poke them, and open up and mention information that you're seeing, and just hurt them,
Yeah, because do you think that nurturing over time can change those lines?
Oh yeah, especially you asked if they can benefit from information about that zone. Just tell them they can be healed. Tell them that they can feel good again, and that they deserve love, and that they are beautiful, and that their energy and what they do is very important, because it is. It always is.
That's so it's so loving. That's another aspect of reading that I think gets overlooked quite a bit is the therapeutic and healing quality of validating someone and saying how that energy works around them. I think that sort of like an under, it's in between the lines, and being a good reader, really caring for the soul of the person who's giving you a moment to hear, tell their story. And it seems like, what you're taking in from the hands, like you're saying, coming from this background of doing, like religious, putting hands on people and, taking in energy and putting through energy and taking, that's so much energy, and is that why you decided to retreat from doing palms for people?
Yes, exactly. I felt I would start to feel drained, and in physically drained, I would feel so tired and kind of listless. I would take on depression. I have my own, I don't need my, I need more. I mean, everybody's got their struggles, but but I was able to, and I am energy sensitive anyway. So when
Yeah.
I'm not like reading, my conduit's open. And I still look at people's hands. Yeah, when I'm out on that Tinder date, I'm looking at those palms and stuff, taking notes. I'm only human, but as far as giving a reading to someone, I cannot do it anymore. I feel I feel the pull, and because my energy and my sensitivity becomes stronger because it's like a tool and a muscle. And so that's when I switched to cards. Just the cards act like a conduit, so the energy is still going, but it's not.
I so agree with that, and that's one of the reasons why I was drawn to tarot, doing not even palmistry, just like object reading and stuff like that. And once I started realizing that I had something and people wanted more readings, I was like, I am walking around, I can't see my hand in front of my face. Like I felt so, psychically flushed with like all of this energy that wasn't really mine. And you're right, it just creates a sort of like meeting space in between all of their energy. It's like a psychic condom, if you will. It sort of like creates a little bit of a barrier.
It sure does.
If people want to get a tarot reading from you, they can contact you through the vintage store, Opium Den.
Yeah, you can do that. And I usually have a residency on Sundays at Needles and Pens in San Francisco. I'm usually there from like 12-ish to 7-ish, depending on the traffic flow. And you can, slide into my DMs and, book an appointment with me if you want a private consultation. I'm about to actually go into one pretty soon right now, for example. But yeah, those are two ways to do it. So at Needles and Pens, it usually takes 10 to 15 minutes, and one-on-one, it usually takes about an hour for some reason. And I just kind of go with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that's Opium Den on Instagram, and that is at symbol underscore OPIUM underscore DEN underscore. And if you want to know more about Michelle's readings and also check out her out of this world amazing vintage collection, just check her out on Opium Den on Instagram. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom and your experiences. I appreciate you so much, Michelle, and I'm so grateful you made the time.
My goodness, I'm really happy that you contacted me, and if any of this is a help to anyone, all the better.
Wonderful. You're so beautiful, and I'm so happy that someone like you is in a position where you can give your wisdom out to the public, and everyone's so lucky to have readings from you. And if I was in San Francisco, I would love to get a reading soon, but I'll have to hit you up on my next visit.
All right. Well, thank you again for having me on your program.
My pleasure. Bye, everyone, and remember to look at everyone's hands.
Yes. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.